scripture reading this evening, but it'll be taken from John, the 10th chapter. I'll be reading verses 25 through 30. John 10, 25 through 30. I'll be reading from the New King James. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one."
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. We're very thankful for this time that we have together to look at God's Word and try to understand it in a better way. You know, some of the things that I have learned throughout my life, particularly when it comes to the Bible, came out of religious discussion. And as you try to spread the Word of God, before you know it, you get into these crazy things called questions. And one question seems to turn into many questions. You know, someone approaches you and asks you a question about something in relation to the Lord's Church, the Church of the Bible, and it just starts out with one question. It could be about anything. It could be about the way that we worship. It could be about anything. And then after you start with that question, another question comes. And another question comes. And it's a flood of questions. As long as there's questions, that's a good thing, because we definitely want to understand God's Word. But when it comes to that, it puts you in an interesting spot. Because when someone asks you a religious question, what are you going to do? And really, I try to simplify things in my life. There's only two things I can really do if someone asks me a religious question. Number one is try to give them book, chapter, and verse on whatever that topic's about. Option number two, say, "I don't know." And sometimes that is an appropriate response. Particularly if you don't know the answer, you don't want to lead someone astray in any particular way. But that being said, if you have a question that someone asks you religiously and you don't know the answer to, you just say, "You know what, I need to dedicate some time and to study that and really get a perspective on that." There's so many topics in the Bible, so many questions you can face when you go out and try to spread the Word of God, but really, you got those two options always there. If I can say, book, chapter, and verse, or I can say, "You know, I don't know, I'll try to get back to you," and certainly that makes, I feel like, evangelism a little less intimidating. Certainly, we're not always going to have every single answer. Sometimes people ask us something religiously that we don't have an exact answer to. Sometimes it's a kind of question off in left field, and there's not an exact Bible verse that hits it exactly, and we have to deal with it through Bible principles, and I think that's okay. And certainly time to consider those things is important. But then you come to the topic of false doctrine. And a lot of times people will discuss false doctrine, and certainly that is a hard point, because a lot of false doctrine goes like this. Someone asks me a question, and they say, "Hey, this religious question," and it's not so much that I can't think of a Bible verse for it, but that there is no Bible verse for it. You know, like Christmas would be an example. Nowhere is Christmas mentioned in the Bible, but yet we have so many religious people that hold to that. In many ways, you know, there's a lot of doctrines that are out there that you're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa," even if I wanted to get a Bible answer, there is no Bible verse for it. And sometimes we fall into that, though. You know, addressing false doctrine is something that has to happen from time to time when it comes to evangelism. Someone asks you a question, and it's not that you don't want to give them a Bible answer, but there is no Bible for their position. And certainly that's a problem that we must consider, because we want to follow the Bible. And we want to follow the things which it teaches. Addressing false doctrine is definitely something that we have to do from time to time. And a lot of times people don't think that there should be a lesson directly on false doctrine, and I understand where they come from on that. But in studying false doctrine, you learn a whole lot. Because what you do, really, is you realize this is a false doctrine. Why? Because you can find all these Bible verses that say something otherwise. And certainly that is the case when it comes to our topic this evening, once they've always saved. You know, once they go away saved is a popular doctrine in the denominational world. It's one that's very dangerous and one that makes it very hard to reach people when it comes to evangelism. Reason being is they think they're okay. And they think they will always be okay. And because they think they'll always be okay, they never need to have a religious discussion. They don't need to open their Bible. They don't need to look. They don't need to search, so on and so forth. But there's a lot that can be learned from false doctrine, because when we look at a false doctrine, we're like, whoa, 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 what does the Bible say? And certainly that should be where we direct our conversations whenever we have a religious conversation, back to the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And certainly that's the principle that I'm looking at this evening when we look at a false doctrine, is we want to expose it. Because certainly there's many friends, family, relatives that fall under the perception or the idea that they can be saved and always saved. We look at Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, and it talks about acknowledging and finding and labeling and looking for people that are walking contrary to the faith. Well, how can we do that? We have to acknowledge that false doctrine is out there and look and try to see what's going on. Now, before we go too far down the road of things that we could discuss when someone believes once they go away saved, I think it would be safe to say at this point and to consider and think about that God wants all men to be saved. He says that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 through the inspired writers. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Certainly God wants all individuals to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But we still have the topic at hand. Once saved, always saved. That's the question of the evening. You know, a great place to turn whenever we're talking about doctrine and things that are taught and principles of the Bible is the Old Testament. Now, we understand that the Old Testament isn't binding, but the Old Testament is for our learning. And what the Old Testament does many times is it reveals how God deals with man, particularly in regards to faith. A lot of times, God puts a man of faith or a woman of faith in a situation where they have to demonstrate their faith, hearing what God says and acting appropriately towards it. We can think of so many people. So the Old Testament is a great place to see how God deals with individuals, and certainly there's some basic principles that we can learn from the Old Testament. In fact, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. You know, there's so many things that we can learn from the Old Testament in relation to how God deals with individuals. You know, you think of Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve in the garden are given very clear instructions. Well, what are they not supposed to do? Most people know the story. They're not supposed to eat of that tree, right? They're not supposed to eat of that tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then Satan comes along and, you know, God said, you'll surely die if you do this. And Satan just changed one little word. He says, you will not surely die. And he just changed that one little word. And then we see that Eve is deceived, and from that we see Adam go as well. And we see this, you know, with God consistent with what he said. He said, if you eat of this tree, you'll die. Did Adam and Eve die? Yes, they did. We deal with a very consistent God. And a lot of times there's a lot of principles that we can see in relation to obedience and conditions. And a lot of people don't struggle with this until they turn over to the New Testament. Well, what's your example? You think of Noah. You talk to people about Noah, and you say, you know, Noah had to build that ark, right? He had to cover it with, you know, he had to have goat wood, and he had to do all these things, so on and so forth. And he talked to somebody and said, well, if Noah did not follow those directions, what would have happened to the ark? Well, sometimes you get different answers. People say, well, Noah would have been saved. Noah would definitely have some problems. God would be displeased. Perhaps the ark wouldn't even float, and then Noah would drown. And then we just keep going on. People see the examples over and over again. You know, you think of Passover, right? When the Israelites were in Egypt, and Pharaoh has them, and Moses comes with Aaron, and they have the plagues, and they get to the last plague, death of the firstborn, and God gives instructions to the Israelites what they have to do. They have to get the blood and put it on the doorpost. And if you ask somebody, what if an Israelite family did not put blood on the doorpost? Well, they would have died. At least the firstborn of their family would die. We don't have problems with these examples. You know, we go to Joshua, and we see Joshua in the walls of Jericho, and he had to walk around those walls, and we say, well, what if Joshua didn't walk around the wall? What if he didn't follow God's directions? Well, he wouldn't have got the result that God promised. We look at Naaman in 2 Kings, and Naaman, you know, he's got leprosy, and God tells him to dip in the River Jordan. And you know what? He's not cleansed of his leprosy until he follows the directions of God. There's so many principles that we find in the Old Testament. And one of the major principles we find is that God means what he says. When God promises something and he tells you what's connected to the promise, he expects you to do those things. And if you don't do those things, you put yourself in danger. Well, we're just saving ourselves, aren't we? Well, not exactly, because we're following a lot of times directions that make absolutely no sense. You know, I don't know too many people that are going to put blood on their door. I don't know too many people that are going to walk around walls of the city. I don't know too many people that are going to wash in Jordan, dip in the Jordan 7 times. I don't know too many people that are going to build an ark. Where are these people going? They're listening to what God says, and they're doing it. And most of us, when we look at those situations, we say if that individual did not do what God said, they would be in a dangerous situation. I think that's a safe principle that we can take from the Old Testament. You know, you look at Moses in Deuteronomy, and he's giving a farewell address all throughout Deuteronomy, and particularly Deuteronomy chapter 28. He's talking to the Israelites. He says, you guys are going to go into the Promised Land. And, of course, Moses is not going to go into the Promised Land. And he is warning them over and over again in chapter 28. And Moses actually lays out in his speech just two options for the people. You can follow God and obey what he says, or you know what? You cannot obey God and not follow what he says. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 20, Moses tells them what will happen if they don't follow what God says. And you know what? We see these things start to happen to the Israelites as they start disobeying God and not doing the things which God has told them to do. You know, the thing about once saved, always saved, it gives us this idea that there's no turning back, there's no turning around, there's almost no choice, or there's one choice and then you're done. Which kind of seems a little bit ridiculous, but there are a lot of people that hold to this belief. That once you become a Christian, you're just a Christian the whole way. There's no bumps, there's no bruises, there's no going back to the world, there's no... I mean, it's almost like that. But that's not the picture I see in the Old Testament. The picture I see in the Old Testament is a lot of choices. Will you follow God and do what he says, or will you not follow God? Will you half listen to God, or will you completely listen to God? And certainly we're put in the same situations as these people in the Old Testament. But one of the problems of once saved, always saved is that it eliminates the idea that someone can go for a while and turn back around. But yet we see this in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, I think we see it in respect to Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, it says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I will have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? There's a conversation going on in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. It's in respect to God's people. And the plea is that the people do what? Turn around. Turn around. You're doing wicked things. You're not doing things that are right. You know what you need to do? You need to turn around. Turn away from your wicked way. You know, once they go with things, does not leave any room for turn around. You know what they say? They're just a pretender. You know, you just had someone that became a Christian, and really they just pretended for 5 years, and then when they start doing a whole bunch of bad things, they go, oh, they just never believed anyone. That's what once saved, always saved really does, is it takes out this picture of the turnaround story. And we think of the prodigal son. You know, it's a turnaround story. But once saved, always saved, what it does is eliminates the turnaround. It says no one can turn around. It's either you're walking this way or you'll never walk that way. You know, it's a real problem. But unfortunately, all throughout the Old Testament, we do have this principle of choices. Not only do we have that principle, but we have the principle of returning and turning back. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, so rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Talking about the Lord here, it's just a perfect picture of repentance. It says, rend your hearts, not your garments. Well, a lot of times they'll tear their garments, but really, their heart's not changed. They'll do an outward sign and say, oh yeah, I'm going to change my life around. I'm going to change it. I'm going to do everything I need to do. And outwardly, they're doing everything right, but their heart isn't really in the right place. But in Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, return to God. Return to God. You know, the Bible gives us this picture of leaving and coming back. And once saved, always saved really suggests the idea of pretending. And I've had many conversations with individuals that hold this belief. They hold this belief that they'll have somebody at their congregation that does good for a while, maybe 5 or 10 years, and they're really doing good those 5 or 10 years, but then they start doing bad things, and they start walking away and not attending services and doing things that they shouldn't and associating with things that they shouldn't, doing things that they shouldn't, and they just think, oh, pretender. They pretended for 5 years. That's what they did. They pretended for 10 years. That's what they did. I don't know if that's really the picture that the Bible's giving us. I think the Bible is giving us a picture of an individual that can do right for a period of time, and then they can turn and do things which are wrong. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, Israel, the people of God, the Jews, they had a lot of predicaments throughout history where they were turned away from God. They weren't doing things that they were supposed to be doing, and there was always a call to come back, to turn around, to return to where they had been in the past. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it's just such a good picture. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Of course, the Old Testament, we understand that the Old Testament is not binding on us today. Jesus died as a sacrifice, and we are now under the New Testament, which he shed his blood for. So we can learn very powerful principled ideas from the Old Testament, but certainly we want to look at the New Testament and what it says. But it's interesting that we have many individuals in the religious world that say, you cannot fall away. And yet the Bible says almost the exact different thing, word for word. And I hate to say, that has become something that's become so accepted in religion, it almost turns your stomach. That people will say almost the exact opposite of what the Bible says and get away with it. I mean, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Wait, I thought you said we couldn't fall. I thought you said what things always say. I thought that's what you said. And yet we have a warning here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, take heed, lest you fall. Almost the exact opposite of what people say. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. People that were trying to be justified by the law, what are they doing? Well, if you try to be justified by the law, they were falling from grace. Wait, 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 the religious world. Once they go with saved, you can't fall. You're good. I think that's become far too accepted in the religious world today, is that people can get away with saying something the exact opposite of what the Bible says. And you know what, a lot of times, we don't even stand up and say anything about it. You know, I've tried to make it a point in my life, when someone says something that's the exact opposite of what the Bible says, I say, please show me that. And I try not to do it in an arrogant way or a mean way. I try to really do it in a loving way to get them to start asking questions. Please show me that in the Bible. I would love to see it. I really would. It's not really out of an arrogance. It's out of, you know what, if you're right on this and that's what the Bible says, perhaps I should change. It's really out of that attitude. But it's amazing in the religious world how people get away with saying things that are the exact opposite of what the Bible says. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. And people say, well, people who believe and then are baptized will be saved. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says, you know. People almost get by with saying the exact opposite. The exact opposite. You know, we start looking through the Bible and you will see that certainly faith is something that has this idea of returning, this idea of something that can be lost if we're not careful. And the Bible warns about it in relation to false doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, there's a couple individuals there that are causing some problems. Timoneus and Philippus. And we see these individuals in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. And here's some of what it says. It says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Well, whose message? These two individuals that we're reading about in verse 17. Hymenaeus and Philippus. It says, they're of the sort who have strayed concerning the truth. There's these couple individuals, they stray concerning their truth, their message is like cancer, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. once they go, it doesn't seem like your faith could be overthrown. But yeah, that's what it says right here. So these false teachers have come in. They started teaching something in relation to the resurrection, saying the resurrection has already passed, and apparently they're having some success, and their message is spreading like cancer, and it's overthrowing the faith of some. What are they getting people to believe? That the resurrection already passed? You know, this is not the only place. You know, you almost have to do rapid fire. It's so sad that someone would say you can never fall. It's so sad that people would say once they've always saved, because we could rapid fire through the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm not going to read all the verses to these because we just, you know, run out of time. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, here's a quote from the verse. Some will depart from the faith. Wait a second. To depart from the faith, I have to have the faith first or be there at some point, right? I'm going to depart from California. Well, Kyle, you're not in California. Well, I'm going to depart from it. I'm not in California. How can I depart from some place I've never been? It says, some will depart from the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 12, it says, some have cast off their first faith. Cast off their first faith. Well, to cast it off, you have to have it. And it says their first. It says they cast off their first faith in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 12. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 20 through 21, it says, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Some people are professing something, saying something, and by saying that thing, it says that they are straying from the faith. Can't fall. Once saved, always saved. You'll always be okay. Don't worry about it. So on and so forth. Very dangerous doctrine. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, we read about, we have the parable of the sower. It talks about a group of individuals there. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, in the middle of the parable of the sower, it says, but the ones on the rock are those, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and a time of temptation, they fall away. So there's these individuals, and they accept the word of God, they accept the message with joy, and they're ready to go. But it's only for a time. Some trials, some tribulations, some life. And you know what? They fall away. It's very dangerous that individuals would push such a doctrine, but it's very popular in our society. You know why? Because people like it. It's very comforting. Once they go, they say, I'll always be okay. It doesn't matter what I do, what I say, you know, so on and so forth. But I think the Bible is sending us a very clear message that you can leave the faith. But you know what? One of the better things about that is you can always come back. You can always come back. Because we have a forgiving and merciful Father in heaven. But the problem with once saved, always saved, one of the major problems is when you put a situation before them, you have an individual who's lived a good life for a period of time, and then they start going bad things, you know, not attending, you know, being involved in sin, a lot of things are happening, so on and so forth. And basically, they're just thrown off of whatever Jesus says. If Jesus says something, they almost do the opposite. If you put them in that situation and you describe that person to them, they'll say, ah, that person was just a pretender, you know. They, for 5 to 10 years, they were a pretender. You know, it makes you think about Judas, doesn't it? You know, Judas walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus. Judas was a part of that close-knit group. You know, puts me in a hard situation with Judas. You know, when I see Judas, what I see is an individual who was doing some good things along the way, and actually Jesus spotted some of his problems. And he does have some problems along the way. We start to see some of his greed and some of his issues. But you know what? Judas makes a mistake. But the other individuals got to say that Judas was pretending why he was with Jesus all the time. Really? Judas was pretending that whole time? Is that really what he was doing? Or was he believing and doing the things that perhaps he should for a time and then turned away from doing those things that perhaps he should be doing? I think the Bible is sending a clear message. You can fall. We look at the Old Testament. Israel was falling and making mistakes. The message for us in the New Testament is we can fall and make mistakes. And certainly you can walk away from those things. You know, when I was first confronted with the idea of once saved, always saved, one of the first verses that was brought to my attention was John chapter 10, verses 25 through verse 30. Which was our reading this evening. I was talking to an individual. That was one of the first Bible verses they brought up to me. So let's read it and let's look at it one more time. It says, Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name, and bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. And as I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And usually that's about where they stop. And they say, see, God says that if you're one of his sheep, you can never be snatched out of his hand, and his sheep have eternal life. See, there it is, once they've always saved. I think you have to be careful and you have to dissect the situation a little bit. Let's look at these sheep. Where are these sheep going? Well, verse 27, I think, tells us some very interesting traits about these sheep. The sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Two really good traits of sheep there. What are they? They hear his voice, and they follow him. You know what? Let's change the story a little bit. Let's just change the story. You know, it says what it says, certainly. But what if we have, for example, a sheep that was belligerent, that would not listen to what the shepherd said? Sheep can't come this way. He runs off the other way. Sheep comes this way. He runs off the other way. A total disregard for what the shepherd's saying. Would you say that sheep's got some problems? Yeah, that sheep's got some problems. And in the religious world and the spiritual world, if you're a sheep that is not listening to what God says, being outright disobedient to what God says, you might think that sheep's going to have some issues. It's talking particularly about a special group of sheep here. A group of sheep in 27 that are hearing what he says and doing what he says. And this is a good principle for us today. When God tells us what to do, we should do what he says to the best of our ability. But people still cling to such a doctrine. We have a very special group of sheep here. They're listening to what God says, and they're doing what God says. And certainly we see this consistent throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. God is pleased with individuals that have faith, that hear what he says and do what he wants them to do. And then we turn to 2 Peter, which if you had one verse to turn to for once saved, always saved, I think 2 Peter would be an excellent place to turn. When we turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and following, it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcame, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness, and having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, or a sow having washed to wallowing in the mire. I mean, it's almost cut and dry case, in my opinion, once you start reading this and seeing what the Bible is saying. It says these individuals have escaped the world. They have been cleaned. You know, you think about that pig for a second. We have a pig that has been cleaned. And then it returns to the mud. Well, someone who believes once saved, always saved, they have to say that pig was pretending that it was washed. You know, that pig was just fooling you the whole time, don't you know? The pig was fooling you. The pig was dirty the whole time. And then the pig wallowed in the mire. And then he got washed. That's what happened. No, that's not what the Bible says. Because the pig was washed. The pig was fine. The pig was in a good state. But then the pig decides to go waller in the mire, to go back and get filthy again. So certainly this is an idea consistent with the Bible that an individual that believes God can follow God for a time and then go away. Back to the Word. You know, it's a good passage, so on and so forth, but it's not the only passage that you can certainly turn to. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, if they fall away. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, if they fall away. No, you can't fall away. It says, if they fall away. We look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. It's giving them a warning there. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there's some who trouble you and want to convert the gospel of Christ. It says, but if we or even an angel comes to you that preaches some other thing, it says, let them be accursed. Paraphrasing there, of course. You know, it's a false doctrine, it's a dangerous doctrine. Now, whenever you talk about this, people start shaking, unfortunately, in their boots. Well, we're not once saved, always saved. We can go back to the world. Now I'm feeling nervous. What if I go back to the world? And certainly that is a concern that we should think about, is that we have decided to follow Christ. If we at some point in our life decide not to follow Christ, we put ourselves in the danger zone. But then, I feel like that when this is preached on, I believe what's been preached so far, but I think that we have to talk a little bit about the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus. Because people get nervous. Well, it's not once saved, always saved, but do I have assurance that I know where I'm going to be when I die? Well, certainly we need to discuss that. Look at that. I believe we have security in Christ. It's the only place where there's security. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. But when we start looking at it, we need to understand that our assurance is based off following God's word, just like the sheep in chapter 10. If we hear God's voice and we follow him, we should have assurance in that. Well, how do I know that I'm following his voice? He's left it right here. You can read it every day. You can listen to it in your car. You can listen to it, on your phone. You can read it on your phone. You can take it almost everywhere now. We're so blessed. The word's all around us. And we can listen to the words of our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ, every day. And certainly we need to be listening to that voice. It says in John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "And Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Well, how do we make sure that we're following? How do we make sure that we're a sheep of Christ? If we follow him, just like a sheep follows a shepherd. We make sure that we're following. It says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." It's a similar idea that we find in 2 John chapter 9. Verse 9. 2 John verse 9, only was one chapter there. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son." So we need to be paying attention to what God says and make sure we're doing those things which he has said. But I think God knew that we could start our Christian life, but not complete it. That we could walk off the straight and narrow path, that certainly we could stop listening to his voice, that we could listen to the voices of men, that we could go to another place. Listen to other individuals, be deceived by the philosophies of men. And it's something that we definitely need to think about. But I really don't think that we have to live in doubt and worry. If we listen to what God says, he will be with us. There is certainly a difference between trying to follow the shepherd and outright reject the shepherd. There's a difference there. And I don't think it should be missed. The sheep hear the voice and they follow the shepherd. Well, let's do another scenario. We've got this little sheep, and for a second he got distracted and he wanders off a little bit, and the shepherd goes, "Hey, come back." And the sheep comes back. That's a good sheep. He hears the voice and he follows God. But a lot of times get lost so that people think that, so on and so forth. It's all about our walk. Are you walking by faith and not by sight? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 talks about that. Walking by faith and not by sight. Well, how do I walk by faith? By listening to the words of God. I think I've said that a lot tonight because that's what it really is based upon. Can we follow the words of God to the best of our ability? In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says that we should not walk according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. But according to the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Question, how are you walking? How are you walking day in and day out? Are you walking according to the Spirit or according to the flesh? God certainly is not looking for perfection in our lives, but how are you walking? If you were to say, how am I walking? Am I following the words of God or am I not following the words of God? When God says something, do I listen or say, you know what, I don't like what God says, put it over there. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, if we walk by the Spirit, we will live. But if we walk by the flesh, we will die. Are you walking according to God's instructions and directions? I think that we have assurance. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's strong words in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. It says that we can know we have eternal life. How can we know such a thing? He told me. He told me, if you do this, you will have the promise of eternal life. You know what else I also believe? I believe that those walls fell down at Jericho. Well, Kyle, you weren't there. You didn't get to see it. God said it. It was written. I believe it. So on and so forth. I apply that same idea when it comes to trying to live the Christian life. And certainly, when we hear what God says on a particular subject, we need to submit to his will. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, by this we know that we know him. How do you know that you know God? Because people say that all the time. I know God. I know God. I have a good relationship with God. I know God. Well, it's going to tell you in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 how you can know that you know God. It says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How do you know you're following the shepherd if you're keeping his commandments to the best of your ability? Well, it sounds like you're talking about perfection, Kyle. Well, we have to be very careful that we don't go too far in relation to this, because no one's lived a perfect life. and no one will live a perfect life. Even when you're a Christian, if you say that you didn't make a mistake after you became a Christian, I think that we're making a really big mistake there. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." It goes back to that walk, doesn't it? Are you walking by the flesh or walking by the spirit? Are you walking by what God says, or are you walking by what you want to walk by? Are you walking deliberately? You know, I've heard a preacher say this one time, and I really think that it's the case when we think about our assurance. When we think about our assurance, it's more of direction rather than perfection. Are you walking in the right direction? Are you doing the right thing? Because if you make a perfection, I hate to tell you, I'm not perfect and neither are you, and we're going to have some problems. When it comes to assurance in our Christian lives, are you listening to the shepherd's voice? Yes, I am. Are you following what the shepherd says? It's not that you're going to be perfect. We have to walk in the light, if he's in the light. It's not that we're not going to make mistakes along the way. But that's why if we're walking in the right direction, I think that God's blood is continually cleansing us if we walk in the light. And some people may disagree, but the walk in the light, I don't think, can be a perfect walk, because if it's a perfect walk, I'd be in trouble. And if it was a perfect walk, I wouldn't need the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I need the blood of Jesus Christ, because on my walk, there's a lot of temptations, trials, and tribulations along the way. And I have to make sure that I'm listening to God's voice along the way. We can't accept the doctrine just because we like it. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans are searching the scriptures daily. I think that's a good thing to do, to make sure that we're following those things that God wants us to follow. When it comes to false doctrine, I really do believe that if you follow the truth, you won't be deceived. And many times, the reason we have false doctrine is because people don't know the book good enough. It's just too plain and simple. You know, in Mark chapter 12, and verse 24, it says, "Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken?" Wait, why are these people mistaken? It says, because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Where false doctrine comes from is when we add to the book and when we take away from the book, we have to be very careful when it comes to that in relation to doctrine. Certainly, we want you to be a Christian that can walk with assurance. And I think it's more a walk of direction, not perfection. And we have to think about that. Because if it's a walk of perfection, we don't need the blood of Christ. But if you're walking in the right direction, trying to follow the shepherd's voice to the best of your ability, he is going to be there to pick up on those mistakes. He's going to have the grace, mercy, and forgiveness there to help us along our way to heaven. And certainly we need that. If you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you need to praise the church, we'd love to help you in any way we can. Perhaps you walked off that straight and narrow path in a public way, and you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you with that. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Hear the word, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Perhaps you haven't heard that before, but that's what the Bible preaches. We see that throughout the New Testament scriptures, and the question is, are you going to be a sheep that listens or a sheep that doesn't listen? If you have any questions, we'd love to answer any of those. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. Please come as we stand, as we sing.